Hey, praise the Lord, I'm Pastor Jesse Ritt, honored, delighted, glad you tuned in today. Let's throw our Bibles here to Isaiah chapter 53, read some scripture pertaining to divine healing. Now the scripture says here in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we'd esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastised our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now over here in Matthew chapter 8, the scripture says here in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And then finally, let's go over here to 1 Peter chapter 2, like you're heading towards the book of Revelation. And the scripture says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now here the Holy Spirit reveals what Jesus did on the cross, and not only he took our sins, but another benefit was for us, he took our sickness and diseases. See, the reason that God laid our sickness and diseases on Jesus is so we wouldn't have to be sick. And as believers, we need to build our faith up on God's word, that God wants us to have divine health, if you're sick, to receive divine healing. Remember in 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So every day, we want to feed our faith on the Word of God and constantly renew our mind to God's Word. Now here in James chapter 4, the Scripture says here in verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, we need to work on as believers submitting ourselves to God's will and his Word, to God, doing what his word says to do. For instance, you know, most of us, when we got born again, we started being taught about tithing and giving to the gospel, to the church, to a minister. Help them get the message out. And so we heard scripture like Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse. There may meet my house and prove me now here with say, Lord of hosts. If I will not open you, the wind is heaven, pour you out blessing, you're sure not receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall sow the fruits of your ground. Neither shall vine cast fruit, time field, say, Lord of hosts. And all nations call you blessed, for each blessed man say, Lord of hosts. And then maybe the minister read scripture like Luke 6:38, where Jesus said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men bear bosom. For at the same measure with all shall be measured unto us again. And then, you know, they thought some of us gotten real extreme when we heard about the hundredfold return in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, 30, where Jesus said, there's no man left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, world to come, eternal life. Well, now we heard about tithing. Now we had a choice to make. Are we going to believe what God said? Usually the most popular reason or the biggest reason that a born-again child of God doesn't tithe once they heard about it, they actually don't believe that God will do what he said he would do. You think something, think about it. If we gave God our first 10%, our first fruits unto him, and if he told the truth, and thank God he did, because he's not a man, he should lie, the Bible said, then he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we couldn't even contain it. And then also he'd rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Now all of us need those blessings in our life to manifest. Now, some people tithe and gave up because of hard times. The enemy is able to come and talk them out of either through circumstances or through their mind and feelings and emotions or just through someone else. You know, I've gotten in the ministry, I've gotten letters for years, you know, from people that gave you reasons. You know, I don't know why they tell me this, but I didn't write Malachi. But anyway, I'll tell you reasons why they can't. You know, I want a fixed income. Or I'm, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, the cure to the curse and have the blessing overtake you that Jesus bought and paid for and gave to you is obey God. Faith obeys God. Faith doesn't go by what it sees. It goes by what the Word says. And it's just good to say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm in faith. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And thank God, God's Word never changes. He's the same yesterday and day forever. And so is his word. and make confessions of faith about what God's word says. Remind yourself. I don't know about you, but when I started tithing, soon after I got born again, I just take Malachi chapter 3, 10 through 12. I memorized it and quoted myself all during the day. And just kept reminding myself. When my thoughts would come to me, how my circumstances were, how my finances were, I'd remind myself, I'm a tither. I'd say, even God, I'm a tither. And you said in your word, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. There may meet my house. And prove me now, herewith say, Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall sow the fruits of your ground. Neither shall vine cast fruit, time fill, say, Lord of hosts. And all nations call you blessed, for each plant is blessed, say, Lord of hosts. Now, just by doing that over and over and over again would help calm me down. It'd give my mind something to think about, because my mind wanted to think about my problems real bad. And see, as believers, we always got to work on, like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. See, this is one of the biggest battles you're going to have is with your mind. And the scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing, it's all self against the knowledge of God, bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, anything and every thought that comes to this contrary to what God has promised in his word or by the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you want to cast those thoughts down. Say, no, Satan, Jesus' name, that's not my thought. If it's regarding your tithing, then just refer back to Malachi. Just open up your Bible there. There'll be situations arise on my life when I first got saved and started tithing and became unemployed, living with other people. I mean, it's just so demoralizing. But I kept saying those scriptures. And scriptures like Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote to his partners because they'd given once and again on his necessity. And by them supporting his ministry, he was able to go establish churches. Well, I became a partner in ministry, and I still am. And I would just remind myself, and the devil, and my mind, and thoughts, that my God supplies all of my need, according to rich glory of Christ Jesus. And quote Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I carried it with me. And then after I was unemployed, see the circumstances getting worse and worse and worse. The pressure's on. They got so much. One time my tithe was just 35 cents, a quarter and a dime, out of $3.50. But I knew, you know, we need to get this in the offering to believe God for my return in Jesus' name. And just kept saying what the word said. And my accountant made fun of me. My bookkeeper made fun of me. Other people assumed that I was giving all my money to the church I was going to now so that preacher could drive a fancy car, and on and on and on. And so those were words to get me discouraged or upset or offended or hurt or angry. See, the devil comes to take the word out. Remember, Jesus taught us in Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. And see, when we hear the word, Satan comes immediately to take the word out. And he uses afflictions and persecutions. Here's this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. If they enter in, they'll choke out the word. I mean, there's something that can choke God's word? Well, they can. Unbelief can. Doubt can. The children of Israel limited God of Israel because their unbelief, their doubt. Now, doubt and unbelief has come to all of us. But again, it goes back to saying what the word said. And telling yourself and remind yourself. And that may take, several times a day. I mean, every day you wake up and there's fear trying to face you. Your mind kicks in, even has dreams about all the problems you got. And here you've stepped out to obey God and do what his word said to do and to believe his promises. And then all the demons of hell seemingly come to attack you. But see, we're told to resist the devil and he'll flee. As we submit to God and do what God's word says to do, well, at least one thing we know, I did what God told me to do. Now, there's a lot of other things we need to do along with this, We need to walk in love. We need to forgive others. We want to make sure that we don't judge other people and that we don't talk poverty and lack and sickness and disease. We read those scriptures there about divine healing. Well, a person keeps talking about their sickness and magnifying their sickness and wanting everybody to know about their sickness isn't really interested in receiving divine healing. Because you can't have sweet water and bitter water come out of the same mouth. It'll neutralize God's word. A little bit of leaven, the whole lump. A little bit of doubt and unbelief. or false teaching. And see, many times we heard from ministers, maybe they meant well, we're just ignorant, but nevertheless, you know, preachers told us that God put sickness on us to teach us something. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit's the teacher of the church. And he'll bring the Word of God back to remembrance. So we need to cast those thoughts down this contrary to God's Word. The Bible doesn't say God uses sickness to teach us something. Now, you may have gotten sick and learned something about it. And you learned not to do that again. Maybe you were getting ready to eat and you knew in your spirit, don't eat this food. But you went ahead and ate it anyway because you thought, well, I'll just pray over it and it'll be okay. Not if you know in your spirit you're not supposed to eat it. See, a lot of us have made mistakes. And the reason children of Israel got sick is they didn't listen to God, what God said to begin with. And so by not listening to what God said, see, if we'd listened to what God had told us, if we'd listened to God in the beginning, we'd never got sick to begin with. But if we didn't take in his word, his engrafted word, remember Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah said, my people are going into captivity for lack of knowledge. See, not knowing what Jesus did for us, what he bought and paid for and God gave us in his promises. You know, children of Israel, bless their hearts. We can learn from that. They're our example. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 3. That what happened to them could happen to us. Well, God brought them the promised land, got them out of bondage like he got you and I out of it through Jesus Christ. And then they begin to say, well, good, would to God we died in Egypt, or would to God we died in wilderness. Well, if they wanted to die, they could have just stayed in Egypt. But they begin to talk against the promise of God. They begin to talk about what they saw. And they talked about the giants. They're not talking about how big God is. See, God, it was God's will they'd be in the land that flowed with milk and honey, the prosperous land that God made for them. But Caleb and Joshua were unable to persuade them to keep on going because they listened to 10 spies out of the 12. And so they got talked out of the blessings. Well, many preachers came along. You know, some were just innocently ignorant, but others just seemed like to just be devilish and told us God put sickness to teach us something. He put sickness on us to teach us something. Well, if we'd listened to God, we wouldn't have got sick to begin with. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I'm going to Bible school and studying for the examinations. Plus, I got a job, so I, you know, kind of like, you know, the world say, burn the candle at both ends. Well, one day I was going to getting ready to go to school, leave my apartment. It just came to me: double up, triple up in your healing scriptures. Well, I thought, you know, I'll do this later. I'm just too busy. Well, see, now that's the Holy Spirit letting my spirit know there's a trial coming. And I've been so busy studying for examinations that I wasn't just spending enough time in the Word personally. This is why ministers can miss it too. You know, they can be so busy studying to come up with a message and doing the work of the church and the ministry that they allow their spirit man to get weak and don't even know it's getting weak, why it's getting weak. And see, your spirit man gets weak. The Bible said in Proverbs 18:14, the Amplified Bible says, the strong spirit of man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Well, your spirit man can get weak just like your flesh can get weak. If your flesh gets weak, your immune system's down, doctors say. Well, spiritually speaking, if our spirit man gets weak, our faith is weak. Well, you see, I'm too busy. I'm going to Bible school, and I'm working, and I'm not taking adequate time just spend time with God like I did before. Well, I'm going to later. But then I woke up sick, and all those alarms went off, see? Well, I couldn't say I didn't know about this. It kept coming to my heart, my spirit. Double up, triple up your healing scriptures. Well, first of all, I repented. Asked God, forgive me. I didn't obey you. I didn't do what you told me to do. And believe God for mercy, and thank God he worked it all out. You know, that's another testimony itself. But anyway, if we'd listened to God to begin with, we wouldn't have gotten the trouble we got into. But we didn't listen to the word, or didn't heed to it, or didn't listen to what we had in our spirit. And so consequently, it cost many of us blessings. I want to encourage you, we got our Thanksgiving revival the week of Thanksgiving. Springfield, Massachusetts, Sheraton Hotel, 2 services a day, 10:30 a.m. and also 7 p.m. Come, get built up in God's Word. Take some vacation days. Get a hotel room, stay, or maybe just to know some people in the area you can stay with. And just come to all the services, get built up in God's Word. It's going to help you immensely. And then we got our services coming up. First of all, we got church services every weekend, Sunday and Saturday and Tuesday. But also our week-long meetings and seminars. We got the you know, New Haven, Connecticut, Yale campus there at the Omni Hotel. We're going to be there 9th, 10th, 11th of December. Two sessions a day, 10:30 and 7 p.m. And then also that week of Christmas, we'll be at the Farmington Marriott that whole week. A week of Christmas. All those 7 days are you getting built up in God's Word. Come and get refreshed in God's Word. Till next time, it's Pastor Jesse Rich, reminding that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.